my colleagues Leanne Cameron and Matthew Kearney, who've been teaching with LAMS in their teacher education courses, have invited some of their students to come along and not only share their own experiences, but some of the experience of actually doing this in classes. So I'd like to welcome Leanne Cameron and colleagues to tell us what they've been up to.
Thanks, James. We're going to change the perspective just a little bit because we've invited students to come and talk to you. Matthew and I will put it in perspective and in context, but we'd like to get their point of view and show you what our students are doing. So Matthew Kearney is from UTS and he's a teacher educator. I'm from Macquarie University here. And we'll just give you a brief outline of what we've been doing with our students or trying to do, and then you'll find out from them how successful we've actually been. So we've got this concept of a lot of students, mainly Gen Y, who love to self-publish. And for the first time, they're really able to do that internationally very easily. So the appeal of Web 2 tools have meant that we really have a wonderful audience out there for our students to do real work. So we've exploited that with LAMS, and our students are publishing sequences. And if you're interested, you'll see them up on LAMS Community. We've encouraged them to put them up there. But it's much more than that. And in our course, one of the most rewarding things I've found is that when the students have considered they're finished, we workshop them as a group. And so it becomes much more than an individual process. It becomes a collective. And it's interesting to see how easy these groups of students will share, particularly when they've had input from other people. And I'm coming to the conclusion myself that teachers are very bad sharers. And it's because I think that they don't like to be judged by their peers. But if we can get this collaboration thing happening much more, then suddenly it's not their own personal work. They can always blame someone else for the bit that you didn't like. So this collaboration has meant that this course has morphed into something that they've actually created the curriculum for. So they're working through. They justify their design decisions and they teach us a thing or two with what they're doing. But the reason that we've taken on LAMS, and it's not just because I was in university, because that was a luck thing that I was actually here where Macquarie had developed LAMS, and that is that it just boiled down to the fact that I could teach these students how to use LAMS, which demonstrated to me what they were thinking in, well, I used to say a two-hour session, but we actually do it in about 20 minutes, which contrasts very much with the web page design that they were doing before, which took about 13 hours of tuition, and still they could only produce something that was relatively basic if they didn't have some other experience. So that was really foremost in the whole purpose of what we were doing. So that's the initial decision was based on that. But then we came across these really lucky additional benefits, and that was the benefit of actually being able to visualise your lesson. By looking at your lesson once it was developed, you could see for the first time really what these things looked like. And so those people that have used LAMS will probably instantly be able to see this lesson and have a rough idea just from this how that lesson will pan out. So that was a really, really useful thing, and it made reuse so much easier. And the students do use each other's lessons. The next thing that is of value to us, an incredible value, was that my students could rehearse the lesson as if they were a student. So normally they prepare a lesson plan and then go into a classroom, and the first time they ever really ran it through was when they were there in front of students. So the obvious problems that obviously weren't obvious to them in the beginning became obvious when it was a little too late. In this way, students can actually preview it before they go in. And the huge advantage to that is obvious when I've given it to lecturers who also know what they're doing. They plug it in, say that's the perfect lesson, and then they preview it. And it's amazing how many review or change or adjust that perfect sequence after they preview it from a student's perspective. So I'll now pass on to Matthew and he can give you the context of the UTS, and then we'll introduce our students.
Thanks, Firstly, thanks to James and Leanne on behalf of the UTS students for inviting us this morning. My job is just really to introduce the students from UTS, and we've got two groups from the primary program, the K-6 program. Laura and Jen are actually graduating this year, and Natalie and Samantha are in second year. And then Deborah Murphy will provide a slightly different context. She's from a workplace learning context. She's doing her master's degree, and that'll be a different context to think about. But basically, at the moment, LAMS is embedded in our e-learning subjects, and the general aims of these subjects in both the primary and secondary program is to help student teachers develop their views of teaching and learning, both with and without technology, and to provide a framework, to develop a framework for integrating new technologies across the curriculum in primary and secondary schools. And for many teachers who obviously come into teaching because they love kids and teenagers, they don't necessarily love technology, to build their confidence in their attitudes towards technology. And that's a big outcome for quite a significant portion of the student teachers. We use LAMS as a key immersion task in especially the primary program. It's an option in the secondary program for student teachers to basically build a project that they'll do in teams, and you'll hear more about that in a second, where they design and create and implement and then evaluate an online learning task for children or teenagers. I try to just think about what it is we're trying to do here, and I think generally we're using LAMS as a lens, if you like, a tool or vehicle to think about e-learning. We try and get the student teachers to develop their views of learning during the semester and see how they're aligned with their views of e-learning, if you like, or you know, explore the notions of deep learning and see how that aligns itself with their notions of technology-mediated learning. And we find this LAMS project is a wonderful way to develop that alignment. It's also, at the end of the project, I must admit, we confront them with the idea of children and teenagers as LAMS authors. And after the experience of designing a LAMS task by themselves, that can be confronting for them. It's a notion that I think is worthwhile exploring at the end of the semester. Okay, this must be another PC glitch. Excuse me a second. I've just got, I wanted to go over just 10 very quick points where the students the sort of outcomes that they get from this experience. Number one, I think they get to rationalise their use of new learning technology. So why are they doing this online in the first place? Why would they embed, you know, a Web 2 tool like VoiceThread or, you know, a wiki or a class blog, etc.? When and how would they do that? Secondly, as I mentioned, they develop skills and confidence levels. They often produce podcasts. At least one of the groups here produced some lovely videos and podcasts, and they embed that in their LAMS sequences. And that builds their skill and confidence development. Increasingly, it's an outlet for them to develop their awareness of copyright and privacy issues, including the use of the Creative Commons licensed media, and get their head around that minefield. And it's also a wonderful way for them. They often end up including external websites and learning objects. It's a nice way for them to start evaluating those websites and learning objects and build up principles for finding and evaluating those sites. And notions of interactivity might come up there, and other notions that we can discuss. In the past, we've looked at existing and well-researched learning designs that might underpin their task, and that's a nice way to introduce them to that burgeoning field of research. And if you're interested in that side of this, these student teachers, that wasn't a main focus, but in the past, we have looked at that. And if you're interested in that, we've got a new chapter in that Handbook of Research on Learning Designs that talks about some science and maths learning designs, well-researched learning designs that they explored and adapted and underpinned their online learning tasks. And I think the real key is when they go to implement these learning design, these online learning tasks in the classroom on their prac, And it's a chance for them. It's often confronting, I think, that they realise sometimes that these are not standalone tasks. They're actually, in the reality of a classroom, often integrated with face-to-face strategies, and they can think about their own face-to-face teaching approaches, what works well there, what might work better online, and just develop their notion of virtual learning spaces and face-to-face learning spaces. So that's a key moment. It's the first time some of them have had a chance to listen to children and actually ask them, what was this task like? And they build up their skills for evaluating that task, and either through a survey or an interview. And just finally, I think another key is the audience, the potential audience for their task, and the potential publication of their online learning task in the LAMS community is a key point that they're aware of right from the start. And indeed, they explore the LAMS community to get ideas for their learning designs, their learning tasks. But in the end, I think that notion of an audience and the potential audience there for their published task is a real powerful motivation for these student teachers. And in fact, I ask them to include on their CVs if they get good ratings on the LAMS community. I think that's a wonderful thing to promote on their CVs. And finally, I think they enjoy it, and that's, as I mentioned at the start, a nice outcome to build people's confidence with technology. So over to Jen and Laura.
Okay, my name is Laura and this is Jen. As Matthew mentioned, we are graduates. We have just finished our Bachelor of Education in Primary Education at UTS, which we're very excited about, so we're just getting out there. We're both very passionate people about including technology in our classrooms, and so we're really, really excited to be sharing our task with you today. I'll hand it over to Jen.
Briefly, our LAMS task is designed for Stage 1 students and is centred around the topic of healthy eating. Some of the activities that students complete during the activity includes multiple choice, talking about which food should we eat most of, which food should we eat the least of, voting, choosing their favourite food, and also as they vote, you can see what the other children are voting for, and then you can lead that into maths graphing lessons and talking about which ones are healthy and which ones are the least healthy. Also, throughout the video, as you can see in the images, are Laura and I explaining to the students what to do rather than giving them face-to-face instructions. Also, in the task, students make a poster about the foods that they think they should have in their healthy lunchbox. And also, at the end of the task, they're involved in doing a video reflection.
Okay, well, these tasks, they'll be completed in the context of what students will be learning in class. So our task is not going to be a standalone task. So that means we will be talking about healthy eating in our classrooms. So then it's really, what they're learning is not isolated and they can really connect it to their prior knowledge. As Jen mentioned, our task is for a Stage 1 class, which is Year 1 or Year 2. So in order to cater for the younger learners, we've had to scaffold the task in such a way as to provide all students the opportunity to fully participate in the task. This has been done through the use of De Bono's thinking hats. These hats have been given personalities and they speak to students to help them engage in the task in the correct manner. So you can see on the pictures, these are all our little hats. They all have little personalities and you can also click on a link and you can hear what they have to say. So that's good for younger students because younger students might have trouble reading a text. So it's good to give them the audio so they really know what they're doing and they can really engage in the task. As well as this, the thinking hats made the sequence more suitable to different learning styles, as has the inclusion of video, audio and text instructions throughout the sequence. As well as this, the online nature of the task creates exciting opportunities for students to publish their work online, as Matthew mentioned before. And that's why we've chosen to link our tasks to lots of external websites, such as Tableau.com and Vidler.com. This means that younger students have the opportunity to express their opinions to a worldwide audience using tools that are available to them and tools that they can access.
So that's really great. We trialled our task on two Stage 1 students with differing abilities in order to gauge its effectiveness, as we felt that it was important not only for students who were at the upper end of Stage 2 but also those students who were struggling. We also thought that it was important to make sure that the task was educationally viable, not just using technology for the sake of technology. This trial provided us with really useful information about the task and the use of technology within the classroom. In particular, we observed some difficulties that the students had with using the technology, for example, in the student reflection video section. Although we think that that was probably mostly due to the unfamiliarity with the technology rather than the content of the lessons, which highlights to us the need that technology is so important to use with these 21st century learners so that they can implement this in their own lives beyond the classroom. So we think, I guess, altogether, that the use of technology will be most effective if it's used in an ongoing way with students rather than just in a one-off situation. Thanks.
We'll now pass it on to our fellow teacher educators, student teachers.
Good morning to you all. My name is Samantha Day and this is Natalie Williams. We are both currently studying a Bachelor of Education in Primary Education, and during the previous semester we participated in the subject e-learning in the primary education. Over the course of this subject we both formed the belief that it's not what you use but how you use it. We think it is very important to consider all aspects of technology and how you can implement them in a meaningful way. For one of our assignments we designed and created a LAMS task.
The LAMS online task that we developed is titled Cross Smart, Play Smart, Live Smart, which focuses on road and pedestrian safety for students aged 9 to 12. The general structure of our task is designed to scaffold students' learning. There are many different components to our task, each with a specific purpose. We used various tools and included a range of activities, including multiple choice questions, to watching videos we created and answering the questions that followed. Our task has been designed to link to multiple New South Wales Board of Studies KLA outcomes and can easily be integrated into a unit of work. The only prerequisite skill and knowledge for students is that they have a basic level of competency in computer use and reading ability.
When designing the task, we discussed with each other the environment in which we would use the task to be undertaken. We decided to create a task that would be completed individually by students in a whole class situation during a class session in a computer lab. The learning task is intended to be self-paced to create a sense of autonomy over their work. Self-paced learning is one of the great benefits of using online learning tools. Another benefit is the ability to communicate using new media. We created and included our own images, videos, and podcasts in various stages of our task.
We also intended to integrate face-to-face teaching with online learning, as we thought this would be a challenge but also considered it to be important. Our task contains designated time for a class excursion, which involves a mapping activity and a guest speaker talking to the students about road safety. Some activities during the task ask the students to compare their responses to peers. This also facilitates collaborative learning at the computers. One activity we included linked students to an online art website called ArtPad, where they were asked to create a poster to promote road or pedestrian safety, and then these would be displayed on the class blog account or in their classroom. Complementary activities are suggested at the end of our LAMS task to assist the teachers in culminating the students' learning.
Therefore, we believe that online learning tasks offer children many learning benefits. We hope to use them in our primary classrooms as they have the potential to engage students, afford easy access to online information, increase motivation and learner responsibility, and the opportunity for students to be investigative. We also believe that online tasks should be integrated with non-computer tasks so that all different learning styles are catered for and a sense of community to be developed as ideas and feelings are shared and expressed.
So in conclusion, we just would like to reiterate our view that it is not what you use but how you use it, as we hope that we might accept this as a challenge for the ways that we implement technology. Thank you.
Hi, I'll just take everyone on a bit of a paradigm shift. I come from a workplace environment. My name's Deborah Murphy and I'm currently a master's student under Matthew and doing a master's in adult education. I manage a busy customer call centre for local government and that currently employs about 12 staff. And I run a front counter operation and a call centre, which we take around 112,000 calls a year and about 14,000 customer requests, which we need to manage. The learning need which I had is that the knowledge within our organisation is very dynamic. It's changing on a daily basis. And across my team, we have various degrees of knowledge. And some have been with us 10 years, others have been with us 1 year. And this information is not consistent. So I saw an opportunity, given that I had to do an assignment, thank you, Matthew, to use LAMS as a tool to integrate an e-learning solution into the workplace environment and to help with improving the consistency of knowledge and also, for me as a customer service manager, ultimately improving the quality of service. So we don't have an online training solution at the moment, very much a case for us in learning is, if I just go back, I love this proverb, tell me and I'll forget, show me and I'll remember and involve me and I'll understand. And for me, I thought that really summed up LAMS and my experience with LAMS, because in the workplace, normally it's very much a case of I have 5 minutes to tell you about this, may have 2 minutes to show you about this, and involve you, what's that, go away, work it out yourself and come back and why are you still asking me questions? So I thought by using LAMS, we might kind of get the message through and people won't keep asking me questions about the same thing. Maybe I have failed as a workplace educator as well, but that might be another story. So what LAMS offered me was a collaborative experience where my team could share knowledge about a topic area. And it was also a flexible opportunity because they could actually participate in an online sequence when they were actually on the phones, not when they were talking to customers, but in the downtime that they had. And it offered them a self-paced option to work through a series of questions, answers, assessment tasks, etc., related to the topic area. I chose complaint handling as my topic area, which was quite simple, maybe. I don't know if there's just a snapshot of what I did, but complaint handling as a very early, simple introduction module. I also prototyped it and tested it in the workplace, so it isn't in its final stage yet. I'm still very much testing it with a group of my staff. The benefit for me was a couple of things. I was also able to embed the council policy and procedures into the design as well, which was an important management objective, as well as we also had staff and learning objectives as well. But I also have, in the workplace, you've also got the management objectives to make sure you embed those as well. Another benefit for me was I was also doing e-learning design concurrently with e-learning technologies. So I was very much aware and very conscious that although I had to have a real and immediate workplace benefit, which produced a tangible outcome, my educational challenge was to ensure that I did follow a disciplined design approach, which had its basis in relevant learning theory and sound pedagogical practices. For example, I took into account diverse learner needs, such as my age groups, the socioeconomic cultural issues within my group, the cognitive styles and different stages of technology adaptation which my group or my learners were at. Also, I was conscious to follow both a learner-centred and knowledge-centred approach in my design and very much wanted to have social constructionist underpinnings through the use of collaboration, discussion and feedback. And then I chose my technologies after that relating back to my theories and my models. So in my e-learning design subject, actually I had to physically design the model first and then I did my LAMS sequence after that. So they really worked very well hand in hand. So the outcome for me was the opportunity to develop and prototype and test a LAMS sequence in the workplace. And as part of the learning journey, I suppose I was able to teach myself how to use LAMS completely in isolation. I didn't have the benefit of Leanne's tuition. Yes, we had a couple of classes, didn't we, Matthew? A couple of little snapshots we had. As a master's student, you know, you're expected to do all these things yourself, and I found the LAMS community fabulous for doing that. So thank you, everybody. You help contribute to a workplace design. And I also had the benefits went beyond the context of a traditional text-based essay assignment, which you file away and probably never look at again as a student. So now I have a real-world tangible outcome which benefited my team, the organisation, and also involved my team understanding the policies and procedures of council and of complaint handling, and they were actually involved in improving those policies and procedures for the future. So I hope I do many more LAMS sequences. Thank you.
Okay, for those of you who are interested in finding out more about those students' sequences, they're scheduled in breakout room 4 after the morning tea break, and they'll actually have the sequences up there and you can have a look and have a chat to them. But in the time that we've got left, I was wondering whether anyone here had any questions that they want to have ask our captive audience. And I can see Jeremy hiding up there. Jeremy's one of my students. Would you like to come down, Jeremy? There's no reason you have to miss out on this. Oh, please sit, yes. So does anybody have any questions? Matthew and I obviously can ask students questions of LAMS all the time, but some of you may not have easy access to students. Does anybody want to ask our students any questions? Yes. Can everyone hear Wanda? Does she need the mic? No?
Okay. To what extent were you aware, having completed your activity sequence, of it being a generic pattern that you can reuse for a different purpose?
I think it could be used generically. I think particularly in our case, a few things would have to be adjusted because we were creating our task for a very specific purpose in mind. I think some things would have to be adjusted in order to sort of translate it to a different topic. Although I think the basic structure, like we were hearing before, is very easy to translate between different things. With ours, there probably have to be a fair bit of changing around because it was so specifically focused on healthy eating in terms of the websites we use, but as well as the content that we put in the first place. But yeah, I think it would be fairly easily translatable between different topics and
things. Yeah. Yeah. I'll jump in for a sec. The really good thing about, because it's such a visual environment, you can look at that sequence you've been authoring and get a really, really quick and comprehensive view of exactly how the sequence goes about the business. So you can tell simply by the colours on the screen. You know, these activities
Thank
are green. I mentioned the colours, and lost the colours. But you've got all your informative activities of this colour and then all your collaborative ones of that colour. And so you can look at it really quickly and say it starts out with information, then they collaborate, then we get results back from it, then we get more information. It's a really, really easy way to get a good overview of what the sequence does.
The second question I had was in relation to how much time it took you to create them versus the actual teaching time of it and whether you felt that was a valuable equation. And how it would change next time we did it?
Well, I think it was because this was the first time that we had ever used one. So if we were to use it throughout the year, I think the time that it would take us to create the task would be, you know, the same as, not the same, but it wouldn't be a massive difference between how long it took them to do it. Because you can get really, really quick at doing everything on it. But the first time you use it, it does take a little while to get your head around what everything does.
I recommend going to Jane's workshop. I mean, I did yesterday. I wish I did that before I did my son.
Okay, I have another question here.
I've just got a question for, is there a difference to how it's working as to whether there's a lab, computer lab, available in the classroom, you know, like multiple computers, or just one or two available to a large group of students?
You can even do a design work class. So you don't have to have a computer lab at your school. You can do it so then the kids can take it home and do it as a computer task if they have access to a computer at home. Or you could do it as just a couple of students at a time. If you just have a couple of computers in your classroom, a couple of them can go and do it while you're doing something else, because they can regulate how they do it. And you can structure it in such a way as they don't need a lot of teacher support. So you can just send them off then to do it. So
how long were the sequences taking students, do you think?
In our trial, we asked for quite a long time to implement, from the point of view that we didn't, when we trialled with the students, we didn't teach it in the context of the unit like we intended it to be taught, because we only had the specific amount of time to trial it with the students. I think it's a bit hard to say how long it would take, but it really depends on how long you make the sequence. If you sort of add in lots and lots of different things, that really substantially affects the amount of time that it takes for a student to complete the task. I think tasks could go anything from sort of 5 minutes or 10 minutes to 2 hours worth of work spread across different sessions. So,
and you can stop it at certain points. So in our sequence, we put gates in it, which means all the students work on it and they stop at the gate, and they have to wait till the teacher opens the gate for them to keep going. So you can really regulate it, how long you want it to go.
How many of you use LAM sequences to plan a face-to-face class with the intention of not using any computers whatsoever? Have you actually done that? And if not, do you think that is, would be easily done or useful as a lesson plan?
I haven't used it, but I'm definitely using it. I think it's a great idea for a lesson plan, because it just helps, again, you structure your thinking. And just like we said before, you an opportunity to run through something before you actually get up and present, particularly if you're new and you're about to go into the workplace or go into school. It's a fabulous opportunity.
I think we talked about the online sharing of the sequences. That would work equally well if you were sharing an offline sort of learning.
A face-to-face.
A face-to-face. If you had to communicate how you taught that lesson, knock it up in lands and send it to something, that's what exactly what we did.
Easy or difficult was it to actually implement it at a school or in the workplace? Like, how much technological
support did you need
from the IT department? I was really lucky in my case that my IT manager was a graduate before our uni.
We're
everywhere. So that really helped. I just sort of said, oh, I recognise that tower. So that really helped me. I had an in. So, and that's one thing that, you know, master's course, we talk about the frustrations, whether it be school or the workplace, of getting IT buy-in into the project. Again, I think it was all about the process of understanding. In my model, I had stakeholders, and I had to involve them in every step of the way, and getting buy-in for the project before we actually launched it, and explaining exactly what LAMS was. The community is fabulous. You can go on the website. It looks, it looks real. There's something, because it's open source software, there's always that connotation that possibly they're going to go away. I got some stats yesterday from James which back up the number of countries that are in, the number of people that are using it concurrently. So, and the other question was time to implement, was it?
Just how easy it was to do that.
Again, in my case, I went and took it from a usability perspective. I actually didn't give, I was a bit mean, I didn't give any of my staff much tuition on how to use it, because I wanted to, because it's prototype and testing, I wanted to see what the issues were with the technology, and now that I have learned what those issues are, I'll be doing a face-to-face introduction session with my learners before I relaunch it into the full team, because it does take time for them, because there's a few little tricks with the system. People can perceive that to be clunky or slow if they're used to a very quick, classic environment, so you really have to walk people through it first, I think, before you launch it live. That's my suggestion.
And just a quick comment about the school environment. Did anyone have trouble getting their school to run it?
We haven't actually implemented ours into the school yet.
But I mean, it'd be great once we go out to try and implement it in. But I think with the kids these days, how used they are to using computers, I think it would be quite easy to get them quite used to the system.
Okay, I've got time for one last question.
Well, it's not actually a question, it's just a response to what you were saying, because I've been using LAMS in a high school the last year, and with regard to that, I found we use it with a number of different classes, And I found it's very important to do an introduction to LAMS sequence before you get throw the kids into actually doing a sequence on some unit of work that you're doing. And if you make that a fun thing where they get to try out all the different things, the chats and the forums and the multiple choice and you know, the interactive or a website or something, then they know what they're doing. And when you introduce, because we have one class that weren't introduced to that and the difference between their ability and their reaction to it, you know, as how willing they were to go into it, was very different from those classes that actually had an introduction to LAMS sequence, which was just a fun thing to allow them to use all the tools.
Okay, well, once again, if you are interested in following any of that up, the students will be available in breakout room 4. And while I'm talking about the rooms, breakout room 4 is up there to your right from here. 3 is next door to it, 2 is next door to that, and this room becomes breakout room 1. Just a little bit of housekeeping. The toilets are up there on the right-hand side. Morning tea and afternoon tea will be held where you registered, but lunch will be through the doors beside reception and down the walkway. If you have any issues at all with anything, please don't hesitate to ask us, and the reception desk will be manned always. Any presenters, there will be technical help available in your rooms from now. So if you'd like to load PowerPoints or check how things work, please feel free to go now to sort that out. Thank you. Oh, thank you. And could we please thank our students for the presentation?